This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back here on WEEI Afternoons, we'll go right to the guest line for our weekly chat with Andrew Razor Raycroft from Nesson. Razor is brought to you by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow, and by Shaw's and Star Market, proud to be local since 1860. Happy New Year, Razor!
Gentlemen, Happy New Year. Yes, it's been a few weeks. Good to hear you.
Although, is it happy around the Bruins? Let's start with a nice general question. What's going on with the Bruins as they fall down the standings in the Atlantic, the East, and are kind of scuffling?
Yeah, I mean, they played bad in Seattle their last game of the road trip. They had a good opportunity. They had Seattle on a back-to-back, and they could have went in there and really made a great road trip. They were 2-1-1 on the trip prior to that. So they end up 500. I think they all would have taken 500. That's a tough trip after the holidays, et cetera. And now they have to make hay here with this five-game homestand. So, the standings are the standings. You literally, if with a win tonight, they'll move up five places. It's just right. So tight in the Eastern Conference. So I think, like Marco Sturm talked about this morning, it's about playing the right way, and they want to get back to playing the right way after they didn't do that in their last game in Seattle. It's coming off the road. They flew all day yesterday. So tonight's a tough effort to get the energy level up, and then they go back-to-back with Eastern Conference teams on the weekend.
A little bit of a geeky dry stretch that we seem to be in after he was the hottest goal scorer on the Bruins and one of the hottest names in hockey. What's up with that, Razor?
It just ebb and flow. I think it was, he went basically 12 full months without going into a bit of a slump. And he hit two posts against Vancouver. So not only is he in a bit of a slump and not shooting the puck quite as often as I'd like him to, he's gotten snake bitten a little bit here in the last few days. So he talked about that this morning. Marco Sturm talked. They both talked about that this morning, in that you just have to keep shooting the puck and keep working through it. And the reality is, with the 15 months that Morgan Geekie's had in his life, it was bound to go a little slow at some point. And it, like all good pros, you put your head down and work harder in practice. He was on the ice longer than everyone this morning, and at some point, that'll pay off, I think.
Hey, Razor, Jeremy's been, struggling a little bit as of late, and you wonder if maybe he's getting a little tired. You look at this, his backup corpse is struggling too. Do you see the Bruins making a little change in the goalie room coming up anytime soon? What do you think about that?
I don't see a change, no, but Korpisalo's got a big start tonight. I thought he actually played really well in Buffalo. The game out of the holiday, they had terrible travel issues. I thought he was the only one who played a good game against Buffalo, but nonetheless, he lost again. And tonight's a big effort for him to get back in the win column. He's been playing okay. I think the Bruins want more from him. They said as much this morning. And for him, it's just a big start again to get this homestead going in the right direction. Korpisalo is going to be a big part of the next 3 weeks with Jeremy Swayman going to the Olympics. They're going to have to find a little bit of rest for him before he goes out there, and it'll be on Korpi to find that for them.
Nesson's Andrew Raycroft here on WEEI Afternoons. Razor, it would seem that penalties and the penalty kill are kind of a combined issue for this team right now. I've heard them talk about penalties. I've heard Marco Sturm talk about it a little bit. What's the solution? I mean, it's easy for me to say stop getting so many penalties, but how do you actually get there?
Well, I'm kind of saying the same thing too. And yeah, like that's where they're at. For me, the past 3 weeks have all been all about the amount of penalties they're taking. It's impossible. It's impossible to get offense going. It's impossible to have a good penalty kill when you're shorthanded six times a night, because at some point the puck goes in. The other team's trying to score, and they have pro players on the power plays. At some point, no matter how good your PK is, you're giving up chances and you're giving up goals. So for me, it really is the number one issue. To how you fix it, I think there has to be a mandate. First and foremost, we're just not doing it. We'll give up a little aggressiveness at times, especially in the offensive zone. I mean, the other night, taking a slashing penalty 200 feet away with a minute 30 left in the second period when you're in a one-goal game on the road, it crushes you. So I don't know, other than the mandate and other than some accountability and other than individuals just deciding I'm not going to put my stick in a place where I can take a penalty, that's basically it. But they've talked a lot about it, and rightly so, because it's been killing them.
So, Razor, today is January 8th. We are a week away from the big Z number retirement at the Garden. Obviously, that's going to be a very special night. Where do you put him in the pantheon of great all-time Bruins? Not just defensemen. Obviously, there's just a history of incredible defensemen that played for the Bruins and put on the black and gold sweater. But where do you put him in the pantheon of great all-time Bruins?
Oof, it's a good one. So, I've got Bobby up. Bobby's 1-1-1.
Attaboy.
And then you have Bergeron and Ray they can tie for second. I think Cam's third. So put, the problem. So my issue is, guys, is like Jerry Cheevers isn't up there, but Jerry Cheevers for me is probably the most important. Like he was, when I was 19, 18, he was coming to, like, he's my guy. So I put him up there much higher than everyone else. But at the end of the day, to answer the question, I guess, he is top five because of what he did, because of his dedication, because of his culture changing, and then, of course, the Cup in 11 and how dominant he was, especially that season, but all the seasons around it. So I'll put Z in the top five. I'll put him fourth or fifth, right in behind Cam, Ray, and Patrice.
Okay, Razor, I'm just curious. I'm doing some reading on some of the moves that Sturm has been making after this road trip, and it looks like he's putting Geeky down at the third line, Post up to the first line. I'm just curious, just your thoughts on lineup changes. Is this what the team needs at this point, just to shake it up?
Yeah, I think he's trying to find a little bit of something. I think he's been. I wouldn't be surprised though to see him go back to Geeky, Lindholm, Pasta throughout the game. He seems to be doing that after a lot of the power play or the penalty kills. Obviously, Lindholm kills usually first, and then David and Geeky don't, so they jump out there at the end of the penalty. I think he's just trying to find some depth, and he's trying to find the second line's been very good. Zacha's line, Corrali's line's been a staple with the two mooses on either side. And then the first and the third, he's just kind of been flipping guys around, trying to find that little bit of something.
So, Razor, down in St. Louis, there's a lot going on. So this might be a two-part question. But first of all, did Jim Montgomery try to pull Jordan Binnington, and did he refuse to be pulled? Is that a thing that happens in hockey? Have you ever seen that? Have you done that? What happened there?
No, I've never done. I wish I had at some point. Just you have issues with coaches at different times, and that's a pretty good one. Like, he can't come out on the ice and get you. obviously, you're gonna have words afterwards. But that's what it looked like. And the best part of it was that it looked like Joel Hofer was in on it too, the backup goaltender. It looked like those two guys have decided, listen, we're not letting this guy pull us anymore. If I'm in or you're in, don't show your face. He was hiding back in the dressing room. Love to have been a fly on the wall after in Monty's room, knowing the kind of person that Monty is and how emotional he is. I'm sure that was quite interesting last night.
So was that the beginning of the end for Monty in St. Louis? Is he on thin ice? Pardon the pun.
I can't see it. I mean, he signed a 5-year deal for $4 or $5 million a year, and they obviously went well out of their way to bring him in. I think it's certainly a microcosm of where they're at this season. They're changing general managers at the end of the season. There's the transition period going on there. I don't see Monty getting fired, but you can certainly see how there's some there's going to be a few more combustible issues here if they don't get in front of this sooner than later. Because I don't think Binnington's going anywhere either. He's on the Canadian Olympic team. He's a Stanley Cup winner for them. He's kind of like his number's going in the Raptor. He's their Jerry right. Cheevers. So very interesting situation what's going on out there in St. Louis.
All right, now it's my favorite part of this interview. I know it's yours. Calgary tonight. Yeah, is this yeah. must? Calgary, not a very good team. I think the worst road team in hockey.
Yep.
How does this play out? Is this a must win? Is this a get right game?
It's a get right game. I certainly we won't do must wins at this time of the at this point with 38 left. But it is a get right game. Start the home. Home stretch off here, the home stand off real well. Low scoring game. I'll give the Bruins a 4-2 win with an empty netter. How about that?
All right, I'll take Calgary 8-6 then.
All right.
All right, Razor. Appreciate the time, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Razor.
Love it, guys. Can't wait.
Thanks, buddy. Bye.
Andrew Razor Raycroft.
Probably fired up for that Pats game Sunday, just like everyone else.
Well, right? I was going to do the, Razor, I got to ask you, Drake made the MVP, but I was like, I'm not going to put him in the spot.
Come on.
I don't know.
He would have had a thought.
He absolutely would have. Yeah. He absolutely would have had a thought. He had thoughts on the Bruins. I did enjoy the fact that he's like, yeah, the penalties are killing him, and they have to stop, and he needs to tell them to stop, and that's really the only answer there is, because they won't stop with them. So that's concerning that Razor doesn't really have an idea as the hockey guy and been around a lot of teams. So 617-779-7937. We'll still take your phone calls. Bill Belichick, the coaching carousel. But up next here on WEEI Afternoons, time for the drive. That means we're going to talk about Drake May. We did what if the Patriots lose? How about for Drake May? What if the Patriots lose, and what if Drake May is a part of the reason, a big part of the reason they lose? How does that affect the way his season is viewed and his young legacy in the National Football League? The Drive is up next here on WEEI.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Still to come, Hill Notes at 9:20, so you can leave one of those now on any topic on the Odyssey app, and we will play the best ones back coming up in about a half an hour or so. Tomorrow, Patriots playoff Friday on this show, and we will be joined by Robert Spillane in the 7 o'clock hour and by Devin McCourty at 9:20. On tomorrow's show. But it is a Bruins Thursday, and with us now, the play-by-play voice of the Boston Bruins, Judd Surratt, brought to you by Sports Etc., Boston's best hockey shop, powered by Bauer, with the best selection of Bauer skates, sticks, and goalie equipment at 1303 Mass Ave in Arlington, or online at sportsetc.net. Good morning. Hello.
It's great to see everybody.
It's great to see you.
You know, while we were on the road, Greg, I was thinking about this. So I'm riding to the game. I'm listening to some tunes. I think it was before we were in Seattle, and I know you're a big music guy. And I know you've had conversations a lot of times about guitarists. Where do you put Angus Young?
Angus Young? What were you listening to?
Whole Lotta Rosie. This is
Whole Lotta Rosie.
Oh, yeah.
So that's your pump up mix when you're when you're on your way.
I was sifting through some tunes like that came on. Uh-huh. Sin City came on. Uh-huh. I like the Bon Scott years of AC/DC.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I would say Angus is in my top 10. Wiggy, I don't know if you have
I have Prince and
Prince
and
is fantastic.
Hendrix up there, but I'm not like no music guy. So I don't.
We debated this 100 times because Ken Laird thought mm-hmm. he was the expert on it when Len was on the show, but. I have Clapton there. I have Jimmy Page there. I have Eddie Van Halen there. I have Hendrix there.
What about Slash?
Slash, yeah, I mean...
Is that too much of the electric guitar? Okay.
No, I mean, Angus, I think, Angus gets a lot of credit when it comes to, showmanship and the way, like,
amazing.
Seeing him live. some guys like
he's like a Taylor Swift.
not in any way.
Great guitarist, and great showman.
She's not a great guitarist.
Yes, she is.
Oh wow, she plays the guitar.
Yes,
my God.
Yes, she does.
And the banjo.
My God. Yep. She is not a great.
Yes, she does, and she plays the piano.
Oh, okay. All right.
John Mayer, also great guitarist.
Oh, phenomenal.
Your body is a wonderland.
Yeah, John Mayer, but not in that category, Shine. Not. I mean, but you're coming from somebody who thinks Metallica sucks. I don't. Put any stock in what you say.
I'm just saying that other people have said John Mayer is one of the great guitarists of all time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is that your favorite genre of music? Are you a rock guy or what are you, Joe?
I mean, I think I like everything. Yeah. You know, but it was probably my go-to back in the day. I was a headbanger.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I loved it.
Well, nice that Bill Burr was there for your birthday on Tuesday night.
Oh, yeah. No, he had a big show that I guess was taking place at the Fifth Avenue Theater. We've seen him twice here on the West Coast, so he's a riot.
Yeah.
Wow. Headbanger? I can't picture him with, like, long hair.
Well, you fat-shamed everybody.
No,
all day.
I'm just...
Don't hair-shame Judd.
Right, bracelet with the spikes on it, you know, the wristbands and just jamming out to, like, Quiet Riot.
You can't imagine Judd Surratt in a mosh pit?
Oh, come on. I loved a good Motorhead show back in the day.
I
can't imagine it.
See, you learn something new about people every time you talk to them.
I am impressed.
Yeah, no idea.
Yeah.
Speaking of road trips, so 500, basically, this team, where are you currently? You were there for all those games. Where are you currently on this team?
So on paper, it's a good road trip. I think if you had talked about this early in the season and said, how do you feel about this trip going 2-2-1, I think on paper, you would say that that's fine. But the way that it ended for the Bruins, and I think Marco Sturm sort of echoed this in his conversation with Brick right after the postgame, it could have been so much more. You could have easily finished that trip 3-1-1 and taken advantage. You've got a similar spot here against the Calgary Flames. They played last night in Montreal. They lost last night in Montreal. Now, granted, that first game back after a long road trip can often be tricky for every team around the National Hockey League. But you have an opportunity here to cash in and try and keep pace. Because in the big picture, if you sort of look at what's happening in the Atlantic and in the Eastern Conference, you've got three teams at the top of the division that are starting to separate: Tampa, Montreal, and Detroit. So you've got to be able to keep pace. And if you're thinking about it from a math perspective, in order to get into the playoffs and have a decent shot at it, you need probably about somewhere in the mid-90s as far as points. The Bruins have 46 at this point. We're past the halfway point. They have some ground to make up.
You talk about, though, that last game. I mean, giving up 7 goals. Who do you put that on?
Well, let's sort of go back, Courtney. You know, so they didn't, so you're down twice. David Pastrnak, by the way, was on fire.
Right.
And you can start to see, especially on this road trip, this was about the time last year that he caught fire. You're starting to see that here again. It's a 2-2 game late in the second period. You got an opportunity here. You haven't played your best hockey at this point. Can you get it to 2-2 into the second intermission? Then, unfortunately, fine, you give up one. There's a giveaway back of the net. Ben Myers is able to score. It's 3-2. Right after that, you take a minor penalty in the offensive zone. They score a buzzer beater to make it 4-2. And then the game sort of got it away from you at that point. You're down 2 against the Seattle team. Keep in mind, after that win, they're now 8-0-1 in their last 9. So the Bruins may have caught them at the wrong time, even though they had played the night before in Calgary. But I think, in the big picture, Courtney, you know, it still hasn't changed here for the Bruins. They need to defend. They need to stay out of the box. Everybody has to be going. That necessarily was not the case the other night in Seattle.
What's changed with this team over the last 10, 12 games? We talked about this early in the season. As long as you don't run into those 5, 6, 7 game losing streaks, you'll be able to kind of keep pace. But what has changed that they had another one of those?
Well, if you go back, so they weren't getting saves at key times because they've still allowed some of the most high-danger chances in the league. But early in the season, whether it was Jonas Korpisalo, who's going to get the start probably tonight, or Jeremy Swayman, they were getting those key saves. I think your penalty killing, which had really been able to cover up for all the minor penalties that the team had taken, they were able to get you key kills. That started to slip. Some of the offense that you were getting early in the season, 5-on-5, because the power play's been pretty consistent, all of a sudden that production wasn't necessarily there. So you combine all three of those, and the Bruins went through a 6-game winless skid. Then they started to snap out of it. They played better in Calgary, only picked up a point. They were really good in Edmonton, especially Jeremy Swayman against Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. And they started to pick it up. The offense started to pick it up. They started to defend a little bit better. They started getting key saves. So I think that's why you started to see a change in the team. So can they transfer that now that they're back home? They've got a big homestand here. And remember, the countdown is on before the Olympic break in early February.
Right. I was going to say, what are you hearing about teams and the way they're looking at that break? Like, it's either you're in it or you're making changes, right?
I think that every team is approaching it a little bit differently. You know, some people are saying maybe that could be an early trade deadline for some of these teams. Mm. But if you look around both conferences, there are so many teams that are still in it that they want to assess it. And I think there are other people that Greg, that they look at that Olympic break and they want to be careful because there are going to be so many key players for every team that are playing in the Olympics. Well, what happens if one of those guys gets hurt? We certainly saw that here with Boston. A number of teams experienced that last year.
You mean with McAvoy?
Well, with McAvoy, he got hurt last year. Both Tkachuks got hurt. Shane Theodore, who plays in Vegas, he got hurt.
That's an issue when it comes to Jeremy Swayman being on that Olympic team.
For a guy like Jeremy Swayman, if we want to just go on a tangent, I think Mike Sullivan, who's going to be the head coach for the United States, he's got a serious choice. Who's going to start for the United States when they hopefully get to the medal round? Because you've got some choices. Connor Hellebuyck hasn't had the season that he's had a year ago where he was the MVP of the league. Jake Oettinger has been spotty. Jeremy Swayman's had a really good season. So I think that you're going to see all three goaltenders play in the Olympics. Whether or not Jeremy Swayman is going to get the bulk of the ice time, that's something we're going to have to watch for once the games get going in Italy.
Courtney has a question about a specific player. Which one is it, Courtney?
No Lampus Hinholm. Oh, yeah. That's not nice. I just that happens sometimes, yeah. You know, when you're speaking. But the Hampus Lindholm injury is interesting to me because Marco Sturm isn't calling it day-to-day but says he could miss some time. Is that something that you should be nervous about?
It's a complete unknown. I think it caught everybody by surprise that he even got hurt because the night before in Vancouver, I wanted to say he played 22 or 23 minutes.
Right.
I jumped on the bus for practice 2 days after because the Bruins had an off day between the practice and then the game. And Hampus was on the bus heading to practice, and then he didn't hit the ice, and then we got the news afterward. So it's... I think the way it was termed was it's not day-to-day, but we hope it's not long-term. I have no idea exactly what the injury is, but I can tell you that he makes a big impact for this team. You certainly saw it early in the season. You can see it now because of the key minutes that he logs in so many different situations, 5-on-5 offensively, defensively, and he's also on both of your special teams units.
Well, you talked about the Olympics maybe using that time as a kind of early trade window. If you're in that front office, what do you think this team needs to do? Will they do anything? Are there specific positions that they're going to focus on?
Well, first of all, there's a trade freeze during the Olympics, mm-hmm. In the same way that there's a trade freeze around the holidays. So none of the teams can make transactions while the Olympics are taking place. But to answer that question, I think they just need more difference makers.
Mm-hmm.
That's what starts to separate teams. If you look at where the Bruins are now and where we are in the NHL schedule, games 40 to 60 are the dog days of the season. In baseball, it's August. Here it is for the National Hockey League, right after the holidays, after the new year, before what is now the Olympic break or before the NHL trade deadline. These are the dog days. And Marco Sturm had a conversation with him the other day, and one of the things that he mentioned, this is where the best players start to separate. So that's what the Bruins need. This is when David Pastrnak caught fire last year, Morgan Geekie caught fire. Hopefully he can refine his touch when the Bruins are back home. But I think if the Bruins are able to add more difference makers in their top nine, I think if you look at the way that their prospects are, and Will Zellers, and James Higgins, they ripped it up at the World Juniors. I can't remember the last time that the Bruins had two prospects that were ripping it up at the World Juniors. I think that you would like to be able to add on defense if possible. My understanding is that this year's draft is very deep on defense. I don't know how far down it goes, but those are the things that you need long term. How Donnie Sweeney and the Bruins approach this trade deadline and a lot of these teams, I think it's really going to be fascinating to watch.
That Olivier Reeves fight on Tuesday night
that was good.
Extraordinary.
Well, Matthew Olivier is he's a tough customer.
Yeah.
He is a tough customer. You're going to get a chance to see him twice. And we'll see if, guys like Zadorov, Tanner Janot, or Mark Kaslik will engage him. He's tough, you know, and I thought Ryan Reeves really handled it well.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter how tough you are. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day, all these guys get caught. He got caught.
And he owned it.
He did. Like, you know, and I appreciate the honesty. I think that's one of the things that I really love about the National Hockey League and the players, especially the guys that do that role, because it is really tough. Just how honest he was about what happened. And I guarantee that the next two times or the next time that they meet, they're going to drop the gloves again. I remember a story. So Jody Shelley, who played in the National Hockey League for a long time and is now a commentator with, I think he does TNT. The first time he saw Bob Probert, he fought Bob Probert back in the heyday, and he caught him and he beat him. And I remember asking him, so what was your reaction to that? He's like, I hated it. I said, why? Because the next time I came out of the box, Probert wanted to go again. Yeah. And he wanted to go again.
And you got to oblige
him. And again and again. Yeah. So they're going to go at it again. I guarantee it. But that was a great spectacle the other night.
That Probert-Domi fight is probably the greatest fight of all time.
There are so many.
I know.
There are so many good ones.
But the pure length of it is extraordinary.
All those guys, if you go through a long bout like that and you're chucking punches, you're landing, you're taking, you know, you're grabbing on, those guys are exhausted after some of those bouts. And it takes them a little while to be able to recover.
All right, well, we'll let you get off to work. Good luck tonight.
Great to see you guys. Great to see everybody. See the sun in Boston.
I know.
Oh, wow. Don't get hopeful. As soon as the sun comes out, we get 12 inches of snow. Curtis will tell you that.
Yeah, well,
he's a weather expert.
La Nina.
Who do you like Sunday? Pats, Chargers?
I do like the Pats to pull it out.
You like them to pull it out?
Yeah.
Rob Ninkovich was on here suggesting it's going to be a blowout.
42-10.
42-10. Patriots over asses. Chargers.
No.
I don't know about that.
Greg has a 2-0 Pats win on a safety.
All right, that is Judd Surratt. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ugly one last night for the Bruins out in Seattle. You knew it was going to go rough with Frazier back in town against all his old pals.
Keith. I know. Probably a late night for Frazier.
It was, not a happy birthday for Judd. It was Judd's birthday last night.
Happy birthday, Judd.
Happy belated.
Happy late birthday to Judd.
To Judd. He didn't sound very happy there.
No, he didn't get the gift that he wanted most.
With the Kraken scoring goal after goal after goal.
Yeah, they put up a bunch of goals
on
the Bruins.
So 7-4. It was nice to see Swayman out there for most of it last night. giving up goal after goal after goal. One of those blow-up games that Razor used to tell us.
Yeah, toss those out.
Yeah,
and he's one of the best in the league.
Yeah, you don't count those.
Razor would also tell us the last game on a road trip.
No.
Hornets nest.
You said this yesterday.
That's a bear trap.
Last game on a road trip, first game on a homestand?
Forget it.
Come on. You're at that.
So tomorrow night,
punt.
Yeah. You're not winning that one.
Get your loser point if you're lucky.
Oh, please.
If all goes well.
Yeah, no, it's unfortunate.
So the Bruins now have a record of 22-19-2 in every other sport that's known as 22-21. they have a -6 goal differential. Yeah. They are 3-5-2, 3-7. Out of their last 10,
Eats.
They're sinking like a stone
Eats
in the
indeed.
East. They're only 3 points out of last place in the Eastern Conference, Keith.
Right.
Because you could flip it around and say they're 3 points out of a playoff spot.
Are they back to gagging for Gavin?
Maybe.
Well, it's funny. We looked
three
at
3 points out of last place, and they've played more games than every team save for the Rangers and Red Wings in the East, and they're way behind Detroit.
Was it a month ago or so we were looking at a Greg Wyshynski article where he was kind of projecting forward all the teams and saying who he thought most likely to be a playoff team and everything else. And the Bruins at that time were either first or second in the division.
And he had them last in the division.
He's like, they're the worst team in the division.
Yeah,
and we're like, I don't know. They're up there.
Right,
he's like,
now,
no, they're the worst team in the division.
They have 46 points in 43 games. Yeah. They're only ahead of Ottawa, who has 45 and 41. They trail the Maple Leafs, who have played one fewer game. And the Panthers, who played one fewer game. So
they have, you know, a lot of different issues, obviously, on the team. They still overall aren't extremely talented, and maybe they were playing a little above their level at that time when they were at the top of the division. I do think Hampus Lindholm's injuries that he has had this season have been significant.
The hamper's been like the key to the whole year.
He really has. Like, I got to look this up. I don't know what it is off the top of my head, but like, what's the record when he plays versus when it isn't? He's one of those guys that you wouldn't think, like, at the beginning of the year, you'd be like, oh, you can't lose Pastrnak, can't lose McAvoy, can't lose Swayman, Morgan Geeky, you can't lose these guys. It's like, no, Hampus, he's the glue guy. You don't have him, and they fall apart. I mentioned Geeky. At one point, he was on pace for, like, 60 goals.
Slowing down.
Dry spell. A little bit of dry patch. I think it's 7 straight games now without a goal.
Well,
which, for most players, isn't the end of the world. But for a guy that was on pace for 60.
Well, and for this team, who else scores? Pasta had two last night. Yeah. But, like, but who else scores? It's those two.
No, it's two guys. So they are sort of the Denny Green. They are who we thought they were.
Yep.
Right? Like, they probably aren't the worst team in the league. But they're also not a playoff team. So you're in, like, you're in that really bad spot.
Here's our guy, Marco Sturm.
Sturminator.
I would say disappointed with the effort last night.
We were immature. I can tell you that. And that's what all happened today. You know, they didn't do anything. They went back in their zone. They stopped. They went up and down the ice. And we made the mistakes. And, of course, penalties hurt us again from all of them. So, and then all of a sudden you give up, you know, 2 points here, who we definitely should have grabbed it today, and that's the most frustrating and disappointing part of it.
Okay.
Our brain was empty today a little bit.
It's like they didn't do anything.
We just
sucked.
He's like, yeah. We're immature. Yeah. They didn't do anything.
No, nothing on their end.
We took too many penalties, which the Bruins have taken the most penalties in the league. 605 penalty minutes. Next up is Tampa Bay at 564.
That's not ideal.
And some of the situations where they take them, it's like they're already on the kill, and they take another penalty to make it a 5-on-3. Boom. Immediately, Seattle scores. Or like, oh, you just get a goal to get back into the game. Boom. Penalty. Seattle scores. Like, situationally, they're even worse. But they take the most penalties in the league. And, yeah, that's a coach that sounds a little frustrated with his team. And I don't blame him based on the way they're playing.
Yeah, and it's just you don't really see, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel here with this team either, right? Like, they're just kind of floundering around.
It feels like they've been playing over their heads, and now they're turning into what we thought they would be. It's said earlier, the Mike Singletary, this is what we thought.
No, Mike, Denny Green.
I'm sorry, Denny Green.
Mike Singletary can't win with him.
Well, also this team. I'm sorry. Yeah, can't win with this team.
Both apply. Throw in a Jim Mora. Playoffs. Like, they're all...
They all apply to the Bruins. Yeah. That's true. All of these great rants.
They, because, you know, you just... They are what we thought they were, in fact, and it's like that middle ground where they have some high-end players, and it's just kind of leveled off combined with other teams starting to catch up to them games played-wise, and some of the teams that they were ahead of for a while, they were playing so much worse than they actually are, right? So they were like, oh, the Eastern Conference or the Atlantic Division might be more wide open, or did a couple teams just get off to really slow starts, and they were eventually going to pass you by as you were sinking? And so that's kind of where they are.
Yeah, right. Like, teams like Toronto and Florida.
Yeah.
You're not better than those teams. You were for, like, a couple of months. You were ahead of them in the standings. But you're not better than those teams.
No.
Mark in Medford's been waiting patiently on the Patriots. I know he always wants to talk bees as well. So, Mark, take it wherever you want.
I do have a Patriots comment and a Bruins comment. First, a Patriots comment. I think there's one guy on the Chargers, and I think Herbert's going to go to him a lot. And I think the Patriots just need to keep an eye on the rookie tight end Arondé Gadsden.
Okay.
I just have a funny feeling he's going to fly in under the radar.
Okay.
And on the Bruins...
Tight ends have given them problems.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And on the Bruins, all I have to say is this. The ship is sinking fast, and there's a friggin' hole in the lifeboat as well.
Yeah, right. It's true. Yeah, it's not a roomy lifeboat. There's like no... It's like Titanic style.
There may
it's
not
just
be
Kate Winslet. May not be enough of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Poor Sturm. Poor Sturm.
Or Sturm.
Yeah, it's gonna be a long year for Sturm. He's wearing these losses. Hearing his voice.
The guy was getting a job nowhere else. Not poor Sturm. Like, he's lucky he has this job.
Feel bad for you, Sturm. Hang in there, bud. Keep your head up.
I just love the guy doesn't talk to anybody all game long.
No.
Just stands there. He's just out to lunch on the bench the whole game. And then after the game, he's like, they're immature. The other team doesn't do anything. Like, he comes out like punching around at people
he's
after the game.
He's got good stuff.
It's all pent up.
They're like, hey, coach, maybe let us know how you feel during the game
He doesn't speak for 2.5 hours, nice. And then he just lets it fly after the game. I do kind of love that about him.
super quiet for 2.5 hours that he starts a podcast.
All right, that's your Bruins. You can jump in on that. 617-779-7937. We've done the tale of the tape. It's up at Jones and Keefe. Who has the advantage? And Patriots and Chargers. Go seek that out for yourself. But it was very detailed and very. We went very in-depth. Okay, we're being informed, Keefe, that not all of our categories have impact on the field on Sunday.
Oh, is that right?
Which is insightful.
Yeah.
By some of the Twitch chat members, YouTube chat members, texters as well, sending that in. We appreciate it. But go seek out the tale of the tape. Meantime, where does Drake May fit in the playoff field of quarterbacks? You got to win one game in the postseason. How would we rank the playoff quarterbacks? We'll get to it next.
We were immature. I can tell you that. And that's what all happened today. You know, they didn't do anything. They went back in their zone. They stopped. They went up and down the ice. And we made the mistakes. And, of course, penalties hurt us again from all of them. So, and then all of a sudden you give up, you know, 2 points here, who we definitely should have grabbed it today. And that's the most frustrating and disappointing part of it.
My guy, Marco Stern, coach of the Bruins, talking about a 7-4 loss that was a 2-2 game until it was a 6-2 game. Quickly, what? That escalated.
That got out of hand quickly.
A little bit.
Hey, by the way, your guy's not so great lately. Bruins 22-19-2?
Yeah, they...
what's going on?
Closer to the bottom of the standings than the top. Remember when they were a playoff team? Remember they were the top of the Atlantic?
That was more fun.
Dan Ball, what's happening?
The roster is playing like the talent that they have on the roster, gentlemen. They were outkicking their coverage at the beginning of the season. This is what the Boston Bruins were supposed to be this year. They're playing up to their talent.
So
right
is
now.
It a failure or is it a disappointment?
I mean, it was a failure of a previous regime, and it's just correct. The recognition that you're in the midst of a retool right now. This is what you're supposed to sell at the deadline. You're supposed to pick near the top of the draft. That's what this year of Bruins hockey was supposed to be.
I don't know if anybody told Marco Sturm that. Did you hear the man's emotion in his voice? He doesn't like losing, and he certainly doesn't think his team should be losing. He doesn't have your mentality. What do you want me to do? Remember Ron Renicki when he's like, who'd you want me to pitch? That's all I got. I got nothing else. Like, that was like a guy resigned to his role.
Yeah.
Marco Sturm doesn't sound like that. Marco Sturm thinks he's playing to make the playoffs, playing to be a playoff caliber team.
Ron Renicki had legitimately the worst roster the Red Sox may have ever fielded.
I know. It was like they were pulling guys off the street to pitch that night. But my point is Dan Ball is sort of describing you are not as good as your record has been over the first half of the season, right?
Like, correct.
You played above sea level, so to speak. But my question is,
yeah.
Go back to, you could argue that, and you've had some ups and downs. Pasta scored a couple goals last night. Pasta's good. You've had Morgan Geeky break out. He's great. The goaltender gave up six goals.
Six.
Sorry. The seventh was an empty netter. But sometimes when he's in net, it feels like an empty net. What the hell's going on? Why does he stink again?
Well, I included your favorite note if you look at the rundown today. In
oh,
terms
I did.
Of
I love this.
Games with why don't you share that with the audience? Because I know this is your favorite Swayman stat.
This is the favorite stat we keep track of on the show. Jeremy Swayman has allowed 5 or more goals in 6 games this season. That would be 6 versus the Vegas Knights, Ottawa 7, Detroit 5, Minnesota 6, Montreal 6, and Seattle 6, and Dan Ball writes, and counting.
Oh, that was copied from Twitter.
Wait a second. So hold on. He's given up 5 or more goals. Like, how is that starting goaltender play, let alone elite goaltender, or what's he making, $8.25 million?
Yeah, that's right.
He
probably balances it out with a lot of shutouts, right? Like you're one of those hot and cold, like big play. You know those corners that live off the interceptions?
Oh, it's so funny.
Did you get his shutouts?
Right here beneath that in the Dan Ball rundown, it says 0 shutouts this year.
Oh.
Z-E-R-O.
Oh, 0. But he does have foul balls that are called 8 games with 1 goal allowed, so... He's almost 500 there. Not really.
Is this where somebody comes in and goes, you guys don't know anything about hockey. It's all in the defense.
There's something to that, but I've landed on something else. I've landed on something else. So Jeremy Swayman making his fourth appearance in 7 days this season. 0-2-1 record, 16 goals allowed on 78 shots. That's a .795 save percentage.
Yikes.
Which is not NHL, not AHL. not even really ECHL.
I feel like you could put one of those blow-up goalies in there and they might have that save percentage.
The Bruins need to recognize that Swayman was at his best when he didn't have a backup. He had a 1B to his 1A. And Jonas Korpisalo has become unplayable right now. So of all the roster issues that they have currently, Andy, to your point, if you're trying to salvage this year as a wild card season, you need to address the backup goaltending situation. You need somebody who can play at least a game to every one of Swayman's two or something like that. And I just don't think they trust anybody other than Swayman, and you're seeing him wear out right in front of your eyes.
And this was part of the talk all along, what, 55 games, right? They both wanted to play 55 games a couple years ago, so something's got to give,
yeah,
and we'll
yeah.
give him the money, and he's going to become the 55-game goalie, and now you're telling me he doesn't have what it takes to deal with the rigors of that. Is that's accurate?
Yeah, that's right. I think he's a 50-ish game goalie during the regular
season. Like a 52-30 split, maybe?
Something like, probably even a little bit less, which is sad to say given how much money he makes, but that's
insane. I mean, they pay Korpisalo $3 million, correct?
Yeah, and you need to send him somewhere quick. There are goaltending needs, but, I mean, he's not an asset right now. You have two guys in the AHL that are playing better than Korpisalo, and you need to bail out Swayman a little
bit. So I signed him to play 55 games a season at $8+ million. You're telling me he probably should play closer to 50, just below 50 games a season.
Yes.
So a little but 10% reduction in play time.
I'm not going to sit here and tell you they did the right thing with the contract. So what you're looking for.
No, but I'm sure he'll give back 10% of his pay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, $8 million will take $800K off. We'll shave that down to seven. It only seems fair. If you want to play less than we expected when we paid you, then we'll pay you less than we expected.
This is a great idea. Refundable salaries.
Yeah.
I've never heard something so progressive in professional sports. If you don't play up to it, you owe ownership back a portion of the salary.
Reverse incentives.
Robbing them at gunpoint.
Absolutely. All right. The Bruins are scuffling a little bit. Dan Ball tells us they're just kind of settling into who they are. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, it's 3 o'clock. Ted Johnson's in the house. We're all here. It is time for our three-point stances. And I'm going to tell you, we've spent a lot of time on the Patriots and Drake May, Mike Vrabel, even Justin Herbert and company. There is one man that I think faces more pressure than anyone in the National Football League as the playoffs get underway this weekend. I'll tell you who that is next in my three-point stance.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.